The latest entitlement scandal to engulf federal parliament has revived calls for a national anti-corruption body. Health Minister Susan Lee has been stood down by the Prime Minister pending the outcome of two inquiries into her taxpayer-funded travel to the Gold Coast, where she owns an apartment. The Greens say the affair underscores the need for both a federal corruption watchdog and a new independent parliamentary office to advise MPs on their entitlement claims. Richard Di Natale is the Greens leader. Good morning and welcome to RN Breakfast.
Morning, Hamish.
You're saying that Susan Lee's pretty extravagant use of her travel allowance shows the need for a federal ICAC, a corruption watchdog. Her 27 taxpayer-funded trips to the Gold Coast plus 37 nights accommodation may well be outside of public expectation, but is it corrupt?
Hamish, what I'm saying is it's not just about Susan Lee. I think what we've seen with a number of these scandals over many, many years is the need to have a major overhaul of the system. And the most, I think, effective way of restoring a bit of faith back into the political process is to establish a national anti-corruption watchdog. So we can spend the next few days talking about Susan Lee, or we can talk about the fact that this is an ongoing systemic problem that requires long-term change. And the most effective way of doing that is to set up a national anti-corruption watchdog. Part of that, the mandate of that body would be to have an independent parliamentary advisor who would be there to provide not just advice, but also a function of auditing entitlement claims when they are outside of the rules. And that's what needs to happen.
But I'm trying to understand how a corruption watchdog would prevent this or penalise her actions, given that, as she points out, they are probably within the rules.
Well, that's yet to be determined. And what the...
Sure, but if we don't want to talk about her specifically, there have been case after case of MPs doing things that clearly fail the pub test but which fall within the rules. So how would a corruption watchdog deal with that and make the situation any better?
Well, it demonstrates, firstly, two problems. One is that the rules need to be overhauled. And there's a pretty basic test here. If the primary purpose of your trip's not work, then don't claim it. That's the basic test here. And if MPs need some clarity about that, because occasionally you do come across some grey areas where you might be on parliamentary work, but you might also be meeting with somebody else outside of your portfolio area, for example. Well, then there's an opportunity through the establishment of a national anti-corruption watchdog to have a parliamentary advisor make an assessment for you before you make the claim. And that's one of the things that we can't do at the moment.
Can I ask a question about that, though? Is that not the job of the Department of Finance currently?
No, they will not provide you with advice. They will provide you with... They effectively, what they do is they give you a copy of the rules. And there are some... And they are open to interpretation. So an MP can't lodge a claim with or a question with the department and say, can you advise me categorically that this is within entitlement and absolutely and an appropriate workplace allowance? They just won't do it. So the discretion is then left up to the MP. And obviously, look, I think most MPs do the right thing, but some MPs don't. And that's why having an independent anti-corruption watchdog, and the Greens have been campaigning on this for years. For the life of me, I don't understand how MPs in Canberra can think it's appropriate to have a national anti-corruption watchdog at a state level and to see the incredible work that it has done in uncovering corruption and providing a real check on state politicians, and yet somehow we're led to believe that the federal parliament's immune. I mean, it's nonsense. And we've got legislation before the parliament. We've had it before the parliament for a number of years, both under Bob Brown and Christine, and now under my leadership, and we've seen both the government and the Labor Party consistently vote against that legislation. And we'll continue to see these scandals. If we don't get serious about this, we're going to continue to see these scandals. And we can all jump up and down and say this is a terrible thing that Susan Lee's done and people before her. But what we're actually doing is we're undermining faith in our democracy. We've got people who are turning to these populist movements who offer nothing in terms of genuine and meaningful reform for the country. And it really is putting us in a position where I think our democracy is in real trouble. So one of the simplest and easiest ways of trying to get some of these institutions in place is to support our call for a national anti-corruption watchdog.
You've talked about the grey areas. Can you just park the politics for a moment and tell us, let us in on how politicians use their entitlements? Because as I understand it from people across the political spectrum, you essentially decide, I want to go here. There's a sporting match on. There's the Melbourne Cup. There's whatever big event, a party perhaps, and I'll find a meeting that will enable me to go there and charge it to the taxpayer. Is that really how this thing works?
Oh, well, absolutely not. No, and it shouldn't work like that. I mean,
any MPs do that?
Oh, well, some may, but that's not how the system's designed to work. And most of the
sure, but I'm talking about in practice. Angry about this, and I'm not sure politicians are being particularly straight with us about how the entitlements are used.
Well, I suspect, Hamish, that there may be some politicians who do exactly what you're talking about, who have a social engagement, private engagement of some sort, and look for a reason to go and travel interstate to justify, going to a cricket match or a footy match. My approach, and I think the approach of most politicians, is what's the primary reason for going to this event? Have you been invited by, a particular group to speak at a conference? Are you meeting with key policy people in your portfolio area? If you're doing that, or are you on Senate committee business? And I've got to say, most of the travel that we do in the Senate is on Senate committee business. You're a member of a Senate committee. The committees meet right across the country. You're often going to remote locations. And you're doing that because of your ongoing work as a member of that committee. Now, if that's the primary purpose of your travel, then of course it's a workplace. You have an allowance, and you claim your accommodation and flights to do that. But if individuals are making travel arrangements based around whether they can go to the Melbourne Cup or the Australian Open, well, that's just not appropriate. And that's why I think you've got to have this clear separation. And
okay, but the rules don't the rules use these terms parliamentary, electorate, or official business? 50 entitlements, as I understand it, are linked to those terms, which basically means that all of you can put whatever you want under those terms, can't you? You can say it's parliamentary business.
Well, you try and tell me how a backbencher in Western Sydney can say it's justifiable that going to the Melbourne Cup is somehow parliamentary business. I mean, that is just beyond the pale. And it doesn't pass any test, as far as I'm concerned. So no.
But should we be paying for any MP or minister to be going to the Melbourne Cup or to a footy match?
Well, there may be an argument that if you're the sports minister, you hold a sports portfolio and you're going to one of those events in your capacity as the sports minister, that there may be a legitimate role for that. But for an ordinary backbencher to claim that as a workplace entitlement, I just think is beyond the pale. And I'll come back to that point. We can have this discussion about individual examples until the cows come home. Until we get serious about this, set up a national anti-corruption watchdog, put in place a national parliamentary advisor with both advice and auditing functions, providing an extra check. So the other thing this does, Hamish, is the role of the media is really important here. It provides a layer of accountability, and no MP wants to find themselves on the front page of the newspaper having abused entitlements. But there needs to be an added layer of accountability, and that is what a national anti-corruption watchdog does. It provides an extra check, another hand on the shoulder of every MP saying, make sure you do the right thing.
As always with these sorts of discussions, they get very political. You all use it as an opportunity to get stuck in. The reality is almost all parties across the spectrum are not squeaky clean. In your own party, Senator Sarah Hanson-Young is repaying more than $15,000 after blowing her travel budget. I think since she came to office, she'd claimed close to $1 million worth of travel entitlements. Do you expect voters to take the Greens seriously in claiming the moral high ground here?
Hamish, I made the point, I think, at the start of the interview that we could spend the whole time talking about Susan Lee and having a go at
Well, I've given you an opportunity to talk about someone else.
I said to you that rather than talking about individuals, how about we fix up the system? Now, I'm not sure about the claims that you're talking about. I haven't seen any of those, so I'm quite happy to have a look at those claims that you put forward. But the point here is that while we have a system that allows this to happen, it will continue to happen. Most pollies will do the right thing, some won't. And we've got to fix up the system. And there's an easy way of doing that. You overhaul it, you have a national anti-corruption watchdog in place, you provide an added layer of scrutiny there, and you make it harder for individual MPs to make these calls. And until we do that, we'll be back again in another month or another 6 months talking about the next scandal, Sam Dastyari last year. Before that, we've seen the Stuart Robert affair. Look, there are so many. We can continue to have these conversations, or we can set up a body, and this is one of the principal things we'll be campaigning on this year, Hamish, that is the establishment of a national anti-corruption watchdog to try and restore a bit of faith in politics, because as I said, this is much broader than just an individual entitlement scandal. This is undermining faith in democracy, and we're at a very low ebb at the moment. Unless we start to get these institutions right, I fear for the future of the country.
Greens leader Richard Di Natale, thank you as always.
Pleasure.
That's the Greens leader, Richard Di Natale, speaking to us there. It is 13 minutes to 8.